Welcome to Life Science Today, your source for stories, insights, and trends across the life science industry. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, more CRISPR data, oncology wins, and a new player in ophthalmology. The views expressed on Life Science Today are those of the host and guests. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any organizations with which they are affiliated. Intellia Therapeutics has been hitting the news a lot lately, with results coming in from their two leading candidates. Last week, they released interim data from their gene therapy NTLA-2002 for hereditary angioedema, HAE. The rare disease causes significant swelling events in the body. These early results from the phase 1-2 study showed that at multiple dose levels, the key targeted protein, kallikrein, was reduced from between 65% and 92% in a dose-responsive manner. Additionally, after a single administration of the therapy, all participants have been attack-free to date. There have only been minor adverse events associated with a therapy, primarily around administration. These are small sample sizes we're talking about, but on top of the positive recent data from their other therapeutic, NTLA-2001, this continues Intellia's proof of concept that CRISPR can be an effective mechanism for modifying protein overexpression in certain human diseases, leading to changes in production of proteins as well as changes in clinically relevant, measurable outcomes. This won't resolve all the challenges CRISPR has faced, from legal battles about ownership of licensing to meaningful cost challenges in getting these therapies to market. In their Q3, Intellia burned through $113 million, bringing them down to $849 million in stockpiles. But with an increased clinical development cost, I expect to see Intellia look to raise more funds through either direct raises or cost-offsetting partnerships in the near future. An alternative route, particularly in light of their Rewrite Therapeutics $45 million acquisition at the beginning of the year, would be to leverage their late pipeline success to find more early pipeline partners by selling off new candidates to pharma in order to subsidize the overall organizational growth while capital outlays continue on their lead candidates. Notably, NTLA-2001 is already tied up with Regeneron, while NTLA-2002, discussed here, does not have a pharma partner. Either way, the string of news and the positioning around the company right now seems very forward-thinking in terms of fund development. Perhaps I've misread this and the bearish markets will be cause for Intellia to play the long game. Regeneron's oncology therapy PD-1 inhibitor Libtayo has earned an additional approval as a first-line treatment for advanced non-small cell lung cancer, NSCLC. While it's already earned an approval in the space, this opening as a first-line treatment, regardless of PD-L1 expression or histology, greatly increases the potential patient pool and continues the seemingly endless string of PD-1 inhibitor successes in oncology. This also means Libtayo can be utilized as a monotherapy or in combination with chemotherapy for advanced NSCLC. This is really good news for Regeneron, but just how important? I think the gushing commentary from George Yancopoulos, the president and CSO at Regeneron, should give us some idea. And I quote, "Libtayo is the backbone of our oncology strategy, designed to synergistically combine multiple modalities to provide more options for more patients." That's not quite, "Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope," but for a company with a 15% reduction in year-over-year sales this Q3, and a current total loss of their previous potential blockbuster, Regen Cove, that failed to target new mutants, any hope is important hope. Libtayo saw an increase of $78 million in sales last year this time to $126 million in sales this year. That's a great expansion with the rest of the world added to the US only. It's unlikely Libtayo will ever hit the stratospheric levels that Merck's PD-1 inhibitor Keytruda lives at, but there's certainly significant potential, and Regeneron has put their money where their mouth is, paying Sanofi $900 million plus milestones and royalties back in July to own the entire outcome for Libtayo. With some potentially tumultuous waters ahead for Regeneron and their partners surrounding their pipeline, there's a lot riding on Libtayo to live up to its role as the, and quote unquote, backbone. Viatris, the massive producer of biosimilars and OTCs, has announced a two-pronged acquisition and a major movement to open up in the ophthalmology space. They plan to acquire Oyster Point Pharma and Famy Life Sciences for between $700 and $750 million altogether, with deals closing in Q1 2023. The first acquisition is proceeding with an approximate value of $424 million for the publicly traded Oyster Point and the privately held Famy for something like $280 million, though the numbers are not totally clear. What is stated is that Viatris thinks this will be a billion-dollar division by 2028. While that may seem like a massive increase for a company with under $18 billion in revenue last year, the loss of value of other products is predicted to keep the company at a stable 4-5% adjusted EBITDA CAGR across the coming few years. This version of stable slow growth for a competent and profitable company is precisely why so many pharmaceutical companies keep pushing innovation and are moving any biosimilars or OTC businesses out into separate entities. Keep in mind that there are looming probabilities of additional regulatory pressures on these businesses to further cut costs as governments around the world face financial pressures to implement cost-saving austerity measures to save on healthcare. Cutting drug prices, particularly on long-standing medications, is an easy place to look. For the companies who hold on to the desire to drive profits on medications that existed for a long time, popularity can quickly wane. For example, the Twitter blue check debacle of last week, wherein a fake account declared Eli Lilly's insulin was now free, caused their stock to drop 4.5%. As disconnected as Twitter news and this story may seem, for many drug companies, they've face the price at the pump pressure. What I mean by that is healthcare costs are driven by a complex nexus, just like presidents have very little impact on actual gas prices. But just like the person in office is an easy target for expensive gas prices, profitable pharmaceutical companies are a simple and convenient villain in a narrative of why healthcare is expensive. They're also relatively easy for politicians to directly regulate. As a point in case, starting in January of 2023, via the Inflation Reduction Act, all those on Medicare will have their insulin prices capped at $35 a month, and companies that raise their prices faster than inflation will owe Medicare a rebate. Compare this sort of soundbite-worthy intervention to the complex policies required to shift the practices of private for-profit insurance or institutional bloat in hospital systems, and you have a perfect storm of risk, particularly for companies who make their money selling medications that have existed for a long time. I'm not attempting to litigate against or exonerate for-profit pharmaceutical company pricing. I do want to point out that there are exceptionally valid and likely increased pressures going forward that will drive a split between innovative pharmaceutical companies and biosimilars slash out of patent slash OTCs into separate organizational models, though the ultimate capital holders are unlikely to vary significantly. In practical terms for Viatris, opening up a new therapeutic space, I wouldn't be surprised for them to have a third or fourth acquisition in mind to round out their portfolio once their initial investment is integrated and up and running. All of this will be required, along with internal austerity, if they hope to achieve even their stable year-over-year growth objectives. Thanks for joining me for Life Science Today, your source for stories, insights, and trends across the life science industry. Learn more on LifeScienceTodayPodcast.com. And if you like what you hear, please tell a friend. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson. I'll see you next week.